Jones.
And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling, married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say.
About family,
women,
philosophy,
politics,
history,
people,
money,
pop culture,
kids,
fighting,
business,
life. Join the conversation.
312-957-7210.
Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, do people confuse actors with, I don't know,
real heroes?
And are blacks who say whites are wrong, right?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones, you know who I think married incorrectly? I think, you might actually agree with this. George Clooney.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I just was, from the moment that I heard he was marrying, I didn't know who this Amal woman was, his now wife, Amal Clooney. But when I first laid eyes on her, it just, there was something that struck me as odd. Like, a guy who, for so long, I'm not going to get married. Marriage isn't for me.
The world by the short hairs.
Yes. And then it was like, a lot of times guys who make that proclamation, they break down. And, you know, good for them if they find happiness. But I did always find myself looking at her and going, really?
Yeah.
A guy who is universally put on a pedestal by women, that's what you wound up with. And that's not to hammer her, but like you would think a George Clooney, he could get what he got out of Amal and even more. It just felt like he sold himself a little short.
Yeah, he had his pick of the litter. He could have had anyone. She's ugly in the face, I think.
I don't find her. I won't go the ugly in the face route, but I will say that I don't find her attractive. Now, I could see where maybe intellectually she's stimulating.
Well, and that's the tell. Everyone is always fawning over her intelligence.
Yes.
And I think that's everyone admitting she's not that attractive.
Yes. I think people don't want to be ugly about it. So I think that's the way they kind of frame it, like, oh, you know, good for him. I think because she's so smart, he needs more than just a pretty face.
That's right.
And
he did hit it out of the park. He got the world's most brilliant person. Not even woman, person. She's not only brilliant, but she is the defender of human beings that have no voice and no, you know, defender. She is like a superhero, according to the media.
Yes, and I think that is becoming part of a problem.
That she's a superhero?
Well, she has this superhero. Well, she has this superhero mentality, this superhero vibe about her.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that was part of her attraction to George Clooney, this movie star, this superstar character.
Yeah.
But earlier this week, when there was a news story that was released where they're kind of on the rocks, those two.
No. They've only been married for like less than a year, or like a year maybe.
I know. But there was word this week that she is going, because she's a human rights attorney, and she is defending some guy, ex-president Mohamed Nasheed.
Really?
And
she defends presidents.
Yes.
And he's up on what kind of charges?
There's some level of like corruption charges or something that she's defending, or that she's working as part of a team to defend.
Hmm.
And he was the president of, and I always get this wrong, is it Malvides?
Maldives.
He was the ex-president of Maldives.
It's spelled Maldives. We're going to go with Maldives.
Let's go with Maldives. It does sound better. He's the ex-president of Maldives. I meant Maldives.
Yeah.
Anyway, Maldives.
There's some
Maldives.
There's some islands.
And she was supposed to travel there because she is going to defend him on, you know, as part of some human rights legal team.
Mm-hmm.
And word has gotten to her that if she shows up there, that terrorists are out to get her and either kidnap her or kill her.
Okay.
That's not the problem that she is having with George. The problem that she's having is apparently she made a request earlier this week that George accompanies her to Maldives.
Yeah.
And defends her, protects her.
Wait, the defender needs a defender?
Yes.
What?
And she wants George Clooney to be that defender. And George, in my estimation, understandably said, no. I'm an actor.
Yeah.
All that stuff that you see on screen, that's me. Like, they clap two pieces of wood together, and I shoot a gun, and I say a line, and then they clap the board again, and it stops. Like, I am not the superhero. I am not the cleaner that you see in these films. And when I saw that story, I immediately thought, like, the guy's not Rambo. What are you expecting from him?
So let me get this straight. She expects him to go to some backwater third world, you know, L-O-L to literally physically defend her from terrorists.
From terrorists.
Maybe she is not the world's most intelligent woman.
Well, when I heard that, I just thought...
Or person.
It did kick around in my head. Have you ever had Jill make an unreasonable request of you? And by that, I mean, not necessarily on the lines of Amal Clooney, hey, Mike, go defend me against those terrorists, but where she maybe put you out front and said, hey, yeah, that guy's really acting up at the bar over there, and he kind of side-eyed my sister. Oh. You need to go talk to him.
No, hey, thank God.
Okay.
No.
And
part of it is that we don't put ourselves in that position. We don't even have fun of any kind, let alone fun in public.
Well, and it was, but even as I kind of saw this with Amal Clooney, I was like, does that happen much where a wife will, she just has such a heroic notion, vision of her husband, that she would put him in peril, that she would have it in her head that, well, you're the hero. I want you to go take this. Go be the man.
Oh,
go do
God.
It. But to a level where it's like,
I can't take on
four people at one time.
Yeah, or any people. I think at this advanced age, I think that she and I would both arrive at the right decision, which is A, flee, just leave, extract yourself from the situation, and B, if all else fails, you don't fight. Why would you fight someone?
Now,
physically defend yourself? Get it, unless you have to, like you're trapped in an alley.
Right. Now, how far do you think someone should go when you're talking about someone defending someone else? Like, is there any level of you that would look at George Clooney as being a coward?
As being a coward?
For now, I'm just curious.
Do you think that there is some segment of the world population that is like, and maybe in Italy, the dudes would be like, oh, you must go and defend them all. How dare you? Don't they live in Italy? I wonder what Italians think of this.
I think they've got to spend a lot of time in Italy.
I think he lives on an island in Italy.
I think it's Lake Como.
Oh, he lives on an island in a lake.
I believe that's the case.
Okay, but like, and that's in Italy?
Yes,
okay.
Lake Como's in Italy.
So I wonder if, like, you know, in the Latin, the Latino world, or in Italy or places like that, where like machismo is like a big deal,
out in the forefront. Yes,
right. I wonder if there they might have a differing opinion than this soft, flabby Yank does on the issue.
Well, yeah, and it's just that was one of the things when I heard this story, I just thought to myself, like, have you ever run into this? Has anybody ever run into this where they were put in a position where someone challenged them unreasonably
to
defend their honor or someone else's honor unreasonably?
Yeah, this is why you did the right thing by being an affirmed bachelor, so nobody can force you into getting your ass kicked.
It's my own stupidity or my own cowardice. That's it.
Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free. It's clean, it's wild caught, and it's the best stuff that I found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Let the man go through. Let the man go through, Jones.
Is that, and would that man be a one George Clooney, or is he not man enough?
Apparently.
To go through.
Like, she kind of looks like a dude. I can't believe that she wouldn't be the defender. Honestly, the way that the media has made Amal Clooney on, like, they've made her into, like, a deity.
Yeah, they have.
She's got the brains. She's a defender of people who have no voice. The impoverished people around the world. Like, I didn't even... I mean, I guess I knew what a human rights attorney was, but now it's, like, all the time. Human rights attorney, Amal Clooney, meeting with the UN Security Council, you know, on the Today Show. So I kind of figured she was the one wearing the pants. Now you're telling me that she's literally like, George, you must come to the Maldives, or however you say it, and defend me.
The Maldives. You keep saying Maldives, it's Maldives.
Yeah, I can't, like, so I could see her being like, well, of course, George, you will be coming, and while I am working, you will be overseeing the security detail in the war room at the hotel, right?
Right.
Like, that should be, like, your George Clooney, people listen to you. You, of course, you will be overseeing the security detail that protects your wife, right, George? But you believe that she literally thinks he should be sitting in the first row of the courtroom, ready to defend her
ready
from a bomb-throwing
Muslim. Anybody that would just come in there, just come charging in with a sword, that he would just leap in front of them and disarm them.
That's right.
And I wonder how many times actors really run into this sort of thing, where you get this heroic image of him, but they're simply just playing a role on a TV show or on a film. You know, I think back to a couple of years ago when Martin Sheen played the president on the West Wing.
Yeah.
And he really wasn't supposed to be the star of the show, but he became
the star.
He wasn't?
Who was the star of the show?
The show was actually really supposed to be more tailored to Rob Lowe's character as someone who would be working in the West Wing.
Oh, like the kingmaker, like the guy behind the guy,
sort
like the Karl Rove type?
But as the show went public, people gravitated towards following this president.
Yeah.
And Martin Sheen got this huge bump in popularity. And during that time, it really kind of became known that on the set, and certainly publicly, he was commenting on political issues more than ever, and people were saying
that
he was taking on these presidential airs as though he himself was the president. And you hear about these actors who do this sort of thing, like Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, went around the set of Lincoln, and for like 6 months, he only dressed like Lincoln and talked like Lincoln, and people had to refer to him as Mr. President. Like, they get so involved.
That guy seems
in this
crazy.
Stuff.
That guy seems totally
I
mad.
I think he's crazy. He's great at what he does, but I think part of his greatness is his madness. But I wonder how often that really pops up, and now George finds himself on the short side of that. Because, I mean, for years, if people thought, you know, he was this heroic guy or this suave guy, I'm sure that helped with the ladies for just decades.
But it kind of seemed like he was like Danny Ocean.
Yes.
He lived on an island, he could have any poon in the world, and he was like, you know what? I'm all full up on poon. I'm great. I don't need any more.
Yes.
And it did seem like either that character was made for him, like they tailored it to him so he could just play himself, or he became Danny Ocean.
Right. But now it's going, and then he did play a couple roles where he was some assassin or, you know, James Bond type guy.
Mm.
And now he finds himself on the short side of that, where someone's like, you know, we need a doctor. You were on ER. Get in here.
Well, yeah, I don't really blame her. Like, she, I think that she really did think that he was all
she
of
was
these
duped?
Things. Yes.
Well,
I think that the blame is on her.
Well,
because he was that character. He was, if nothing else, that's why she should believe that he was, he's a mastermind. Danny Ocean was like a mastermind.
You said you blamed him and then you said you blame her.
No. I blame her.
Okay.
No.
Right.
I don't blame her. No. I'm reversing course yet again. She fell in love with a character. He should be more like the characters he plays.
But if she
in
was,
real life.
If she was like this brilliant human rights attorney, wouldn't you figure out?
No.
He's not a doctor and also an assassin.
And also Batman.
Capable of, and he's also Batman. And he is also capable of knocking off 3 Vegas casinos at one time.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, I don't. This is the thing. Like, that's why you need to be yourself from day one. From the minute you meet up on a Tinder hookup, you have to be yourself. You can't put on airs. Like, my old lady, unfortunately for her, I've not changed. I've always been the wimpy, smart-ass dude.
Who dresses like a boy.
Who still dresses like a child. And I had a mullet when she met me.
Okay.
Like, so I'm just, I wasn't, I, the bar was set so low that, like, I've been able to, fortunately for me, I've been able to live up to that low bar for decades now.
Okay.
And I've not changed. So she doesn't expect me to, like, run into a fray.
Okay, is there a guy out there, then, that would either be in the world of arts or sport or, you know, an athlete, a musician, an actor who maybe has this Clooney-esque, Martin Sheen-esque air about them where they're not really who they play themselves. They're really not the characters that they play on television or film, but yet your wife attaches those heroic, highly intelligent, highly humorous, affable attributes to them.
Yeah. You know what? It unnerves me to a degree. She kind of, I think she wants to bang Liam Neeson. And she's always been like, you know, I really like Liam Neeson. Although I think it was more like the Schindler's List era, you know, like he's just a sexy, smoldering, you know, dude. But he did do those action movies where he would like save his child from terrorists. So I wonder if like there isn't like a, she ascribes a heroic nature to Liam Neeson.
Okay. Now,
meanwhile, I'm like, he's just some old geezer. Really?
Oh, okay. And let's use this comparison.
Yeah.
Then. Do you think, is this your opinion, that she would rather have, if someone were to break into your home,
yeah,
like forcible entry,
uh-huh,
that she would rather have Liam Neeson there or a FOID card carrying gun owning guy like yourself there? Would she rather have her husband there? Or would she feel more secure having Liam Neeson?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I think she'd rather have Liam Neeson here, period.
Okay. Well,
period.
I know, but I'm just talking about that part is actually understandable. The part that I can't understand is, do you think that she feels he would be able to defend your family better than you
and
can.
And that was influenced by the roles that he's played.
It would have to be. How else
screen.
Would she know him?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think? Do you think?
Yeah. Well, that there's some part of her who's like, he saved 7,000 Jews once.
Right.
Of course he can save me.
You and my 4 kids.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's huge. He's big. Yeah, I think that she would probably feel better on the arm of Liam Neeson. Yes.
You're kidding me. And I'm not talking about in terms of relationship. I'm talking about in that moment. Boom.
Yeah.
Doors kicked in. God hits the pause button and goes, Jill.
Switch.
You get Mike
or not switch.
Or Liam Neeson.
Yeah, no.
Who do you pick? You think she would go in the interest of my kids and even my husband?
That's a good.
I select
that's
Liam
a really
Neeson.
Good question. Of course, yes. He's like 6'4".
You're kidding me.
He's 6'4". He even though he's a geezer, he's probably in better shape than me. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not. But I'm talking about like, do you think she would ascribe those attributes of he's 6'4", he's strong, or do you think she would think of him well, he did all those things in the movies. Well, I'm sure he can do all that stuff a little bit.
Well, yeah, I think that that's actually pretty normal.
That's
because, like,
crazy.
She's never seen me do anything like that. At least he's faked and kind of looked the part while faking it.
I guess.
I actually believe that Liam Neeson would be a badder ass than me. Yeah, because I've never done anything.
But
all I've done is gotten punched in the face.
But wouldn't you be more motivated than Liam Neeson to defend your family? Like, even if you sucked at it. Wouldn't you, like, at least go out like a wildcat?
Okay,
like,
that's interesting that you point that up. She'd have to believe that I would be more willing to die for their interests than a Liam Neeson would.
Okay, and knowing that, knowing that you would commit yourself to the point of death, she would still choose an actor based on his heroic...
Hey, I'm not saying she's rational, but
I
think that people would fall prey to that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, with Amal Clooney, she's apparently done the same thing that you feel Jill would do. And I wonder, I would love, is there an equal test that you could make man to woman? Like, is this a thing that women really place these artistic attributes to the person themselves? Is there an equivalency of... a man, like, well, you think a woman could dot, dot, dot. Like, I don't know, maybe if you went to test, here's actually what could be the polar opposite of it, where men would think, say, Scarlett Johansson would be better in bed than their wife.
Yeah, you know,
because
what?
Because they've seen Scarlett Johansson in these hot and sexy movie roles.
I wonder how many
That's probably true.
How many marriages were on the rocks after the Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee video, where people expected, like, their old lady to
be
like
Pam Anderson,
go down on them on a boat. And then conversely, how many women were like, yeah, can you drive the boat with your pecker? As soon as you can do that, like Tommy Lee, I'll be more like Pamela. You watch this stuff on the screen. Like, they say that, like, people's sex lives have been, like, ruined by pornography because everybody, like, expects their partner to be able to do these crazy-ass acrobatic things now.
Well, and it's funny. There's an interview with Amy Poehler where I heard she discussed this. She had a book. I forget the name of the book. Doesn't matter. But she had a book where she came out and she talked about her life.
We'll add it in post.
No, we won't. Because I just would rather be honest. We never add it in post.
We will.
Never fix it.
We will,
in post.
And then we'll. Yeah, and I'm going to have one of my children imitate you reading it.
Yeah, the name. I can't remember the name of the book. The name of the book is
Polarizing by Amy Poehler.
I'm sure it is. It's probably something like Polecats or Polarizing, whatever it is. But she talked about that where she said people have to stop with pornography. Like, she had this open chapter about her sex life and what she's up for and what she's not up for. And she said, though, people have got to really restrict the porn watching because it just creates, you're just not appreciating the moment that's in front of you. You're going back to this set.
That's right.
Where everything's scripted out. So I guess that
her
would be
her book is Yes, Please, by the way. We couldn't have been any further off.
No, I like Polarizing.
That's
better.
Right. Well, that'll be her next book. I shared it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/JonesandMike. I shared an article about dudes who are like gym rats with these crazy lean, muscular bodies because they thought, oh, well, this will, you know, make me so attractive. And women are let down by them. They're attracted to them. Then in bed, they're let down by them because they like can't get it up and they can't hip thrust. They have like no functional like strength. They can't even screw.
Okay, and I read that article. I would think, though, that has to be for dudes that are in that kind of shape, 35 plus, because they're expending so much energy to get that kind of physique.
Well, they
like
even said, like, their hip flexor like muscles are underdeveloped because they spend so much time on their biceps and their pecs and these things that kind of don't matter when you're making sweet, sweet love.
I guess, but when I read that article, though, I thought, well, there are some 23-year-old dudes that cannot help but be skinny in abs. But I would think once you get to 30-plus, 35-plus, where it's not as easy to do that, you expend so much energy. Like, I remember 2007 was in the best shape of my life. I was 33. I was tired all the time. I would just be sitting on the couch and just kind of just fall asleep.
That's why women should just eschew this notion of being with the perfect man and should just cuddle up with us blubber butts. because we can do a lot more, and we'd be willing to die for you because we're so blubbery. We'll fight to the death for you. I wish my old lady would know that. You know who strikes me as an actor who probably walks around the set completely believing he's Tony Stark's is the Iron Man himself.
You think Robert Downey Jr.
He's probably crazy like that. He's probably like one of those dudes.
I don't know.
Who becomes who he's acting, like that method acting.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. I thought you were saying like in everyday life, like he now still thinks of himself as Tony Stark.
Oh, like he's sort of rescuing people? No. I believe that in his mind, though, he does ascribe all of those personality traits.
You know
himself.
What? Actually, do you know who I also would think would have that kind of mentality is like Harrison Ford. Like how many times he's a pilot, right? How many times have we read about him crashing the vehicle that he was flying, yet he was famous for flying the Millennium Falcon?
Right. Could make the Kessler run in 12 parsecs.
Yeah, like, can't we... I think we can agree now, like, he sucks at flying things. Like, he survives the crashes, but he's always crashing. Yet we have this visual of him, you know, in the Millennium Falcon and, like, you know, flying through the belly of, like, some beast in a meteor.
Yeah,
or avoiding, like... rocks and meteors and like meteor showers and stuff.
That's a good point. I'm glad that's my old lady's Achilles heel right there is Harrison Ford. That
it's
like 80 year old dude. Yeah.
This poor Amal Clooney, she got caught up in hero worship.
My old lady would rather be with him than me, as Harrison Ford.
Wow, and he's like 75.
No, I know. She really thinks he's indie.
You've really carved out quite a life for yourself.
That's right. That character who did the rant at the BET Awards, that's next. It's Jones and Mike. When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. Jones, you watch a lot of BET, don't you?
Not like I used to. I used to watch more BET back in the day. I don't get into a lot of BET now, to be honest.
You've grown out of it, or has the programming taken a left turn for you?
I don't have cable.
Oh, that does hurt things.
That does hurt things, but I can't imagine there's a program out there that I would be watching. I would kind when I was younger. I would watch 106 Park, but that was like a hip hop countdown show. I would put that on every once in a while in the background, but I don't really like the hip hop now. So
no.
106 and Park used to do it for me, but I can't think of anything on BET that I would pay attention to now. But I really don't have any television show on any network that's a real go-to for me.
That's right. You're real mature like that.
Yeah.
You've grown out of television.
It's sports and the occasional like 5 or 10 part series of something.
Like a Ken Burns guy.
Sort of, yeah.
Nerd. This character, like at the BET Awards, the right-wing conspiracy nut psychopath media that I enjoy so, it was agog this week over this... some actor who accepted some award at the BET Awards and apparently did like a Kanye West, like white people, George Bush doesn't care about black people. He went on like an anti-white guy rant.
Oh, he went on like, I think he went a step further. Like this guy he got nutty in my opinion.
Who is he?
His name is Jesse Williams. He's on Grey's Anatomy. I didn't know who the hell he was. I don't watch Grey's Anatomy. But apparently he won some type of humanitarian award.
He's a humanitarian.
Apparently.
Him and Amal can get together.
Well, yes, but then they definitely both will probably want George Clooney out of the room.
Attack of the killer humanitarians this week.
No, it was brutal. That's interesting. Two humanitarians that seem to behave in a way that suggested they're not really keen on everyone.
No, they're unhinged.
In this soup called humanity.
If you're a humanitarian, you're unhinged.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting that you say that. I've noticed two things. Now, when I say what I'm about to say, at first blush, I think there will be some people out there that will be like, what are you trying to say?
Yeah.
But I've always noticed people who come at you with this, if they come at you with a very strong humanitarian bent, often they're very emotional, irrational, and nutty. I've also noticed, and this is specific to women, typically, it would almost have to be. I've noticed that whenever I've met, and I've met, I would say, off the top of my head, three women in my life who within the first 60 seconds of meeting them, they made a point to let me know that they're very passionate about women's sexual health issues. Also crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So if your first 60 seconds of conversation with someone, you're convincing someone that you are big into humanitarian issues or women's sexual health, you're nuts.
And how was they bring up like, so I'm very passionate about vaginas. Are you?
They'll just start talking about like when I say the first 60 seconds, I mean the first 60 seconds of when they're talking about themselves. Not, hi, my name is Brenda. I'm big into women's sexual health issues. But once you say, oh, where are you from? What do you do? I live in the city. I live in the city. I work as an attorney at an immigration law firm. I work with a lot of special organizations that are involved in women's sexual health issues. I've had that where it's within 60 seconds. That's how they roll it in.
Women, is that code for like abortion? What's sexual
women's
health?
Sexual health issues like it would be pro-choice issues. It would be about contraception, things like that.
It's not about gender
equality.
I don't care about the plumbing.
Yes, I don't care about what the view is. But when you, I've just noticed. And
I would
I've
love
more
that.
Than one.
I would love
it's
to be
three.
On the receiving end of that.
But it's
uncomfortable.
It's not necessarily uncomfortable, but I've noticed that I've had it happen to me three times, and it's been three for three. Those women have proven to be crazy.
You're striking a nerve with me because I agree with you. The people that I see that like are all torn up about, for example, the Turkish terrorism event. Those
the bombing
people,
at
yeah,
the airport?
And like I'm just not interested in it. I don't care. I don't care.
Well, and I think that's,
I mean, I'm like, oh, that's horrible.
From it.
Yeah,
we're
but it's
removed
like,
from it, and you think, and to be perfectly honest with you, I think it's a part that people don't really want to say, but it's like when a Muslim terrorist does something in a Muslim country, you kind of think like, oh, I guess that's what happens over there.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Honestly, the Orlando
right or
thing,
wrong,
Orlando didn't really
think.
Bother me either. Like,
no,
I,
you're
at
right.
Some
we
point, you have to like
that.
Build emotional walls, so you're not like. Otherwise, you're going to be sad
all
every second of the day.
True.
And the people that are sad about every world event, they are kind of crazy. So I dig what you're saying.
Yes.
So this character that gets on BET and he's like telling us that we suck, me and you, that we suck.
Yes.
I don't disagree with what he had to say. Although I must confess, I'm only reading a transcript. I didn't get to hear the whole video.
No, and
audio.
And I was trying to get that whole video, and it is almost impossible to find. In fact, there was someone on YouTube that said, look, this piece is owned by Viacom. They are not making it available. They're trying to shut down from people spreading this out there so they can kind of debate what was said, which is crazy because whether you like what he said or you didn't like what he said, the whole point is to have a conversation about it. And here is this broadcast entity going like, okay, we're going to kind of keep the wraps on this.
Yeah, when somebody goes off the reservation on our property, we have the right to like not let
right.
you hear it.
See, now that's interesting that you backed this dude because I heard what he had to say. I gave the transcript to you.
Yeah.
And I wrote down, when I read through it, my initial thought was, and these are my words, was he drinking because this was goddamn-diculous?
Yeah.
That was my take on what he had to say. So, I don't have the full transcript. I have the full transcript. I don't have the full audio of what he said. I'll open up and I'll admit right off the bat, I don't have when he got to dissing the white people part. That's the video you cannot find.
Yeah, I love it. We can go over that in
transcript. We can go over what he said in transcript, but we will not be able to go over that in audio because I've been looking for it.
Yeah.
I could not.
Just give me a little bit of a flair of, like, I want to hear his vocal tone.
There you go.
This award, this is not for me. This is for the real organizers all over the country, the activists, the civil rights attorneys, the struggling parents, the families, the teachers, the students that are realizing that a system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do. All right? It's kind of basic mathematics. The more we learn about who we are and how we got here, the more we will mobilize.
What?
Now, this is also in particular for the black women in particular who have spent their lifetimes dedicated to nurturing everyone before themselves.
Preach, brother.
We can and will do better for you. Now.
He's not blinking.
That's a big promise. We can and will do better.
What we've been doing is looking at the data, and we know that police somehow manage to de-escalate, disarm, and not kill white people every day. So what's going to happen is we are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their function and ours.
Hey, man.
That makes me nervous.
He's not blinking. I think he's crazy. But I don't think what he's saying is crazy at all.
You're crazy.
White people are a scourge. We're parasites.
Oh, shut up.
I got more, yo.
Hang on. He's got more, yo. We'll let him wrap.
Here, this is good.
Yesterday would have been young Tamir Rice's 14th birthday.
That's right.
So I don't want to hear any more about how far we've come when paid public servants can pull a drive-by on a 12-year-old playing alone in a park in broad daylight, killing him on television and then going home to make a sandwich.
Dang, boy. Right.
That's
Can we review
solid.
Tamir
That's
Rice?
That's solid.
Can we review Tamir Rice? Was he not the young boy that had a black machine gun or a semi-automatic pistol-looking thing in his hand and was pointing it at police officers?
That's what they said.
Have you seen the video? I've seen Tamir Rice get shot.
Oh, and he had something in his hand?
Yeah.
Was it clear?
Oh, it looked, yes, and he was pointing it like a gun. I'll even try to find.
No, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, that was the thing where I saw that. This whole speech makes me nuts.
No.
This whole speech makes me nuts.
Okay, maybe that was a little bit over and above.
It goes all over the place, and I think that Tamir, when you are talking about, you have to stick to one topic. First of all, he went all over the place. We can't give you, as I mentioned, we can't give you the full audio because you can't find the full audio anywhere, and people are talking about it. Viacom is not releasing it. But when you start off talking about, we're going to do better and do right by black women, then we're going to talk about police brutality and Tamir Rice, and then we're going to transition over into white people taking our culture and our dollars and ghettoizing us and demeaning our creations and then stealing them.
I wish he sounded more black. That would have made it a little bit better.
You know what was
like,
so...
More like Cornel West or something.
Right. Here's the part when you get to the last paragraph.
Yeah, he saved the best for last.
Here's what I love. We've been floating this country on credit for centuries, yo. And we're done watching and waiting while this invention called whiteness. His mom was in the audience and his mom's white. Little awkward.
Well.
That's fine if that's his opinion, but could you imagine? You cannot tell me that moment, even though it's her son, wasn't a little awkward for her.
No. She probably taught him this stuff.
No, you're out of your mind.
So this invention called whiteness.
Yes, waiting while this invention called whiteness uses and abuses us, burying black people out of sight and out of mind while extricating our culture, our dollars, our entertainment like oil, black gold, ghettoizing and demeaning our creations, then stealing them.
That's true.
You're out of your mind. Gentrifying our genius and then trying us on like costumes before discarding our bodies like rinds of strange fruit.
Yes.
The thing is, just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real. Thank you.
Look, he said extracting our culture, by the way.
What did I say?
Extricating.
Extracting our culture.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's pretty
This
close.
Guy nailed it, dude.
Like, you're out of your mind.
White people do. Elvis is the best example of literally taking Carl Perkins songs, repackaging them, and white people fawning all over him. Elvis sucked. He was a bloated drug addict.
Okay.
Who stole Carl Perkins songs and made a career out of it.
Okay. Now is... Okay, then let's... Okay, then... Oh, if we take a step back, if that's the thing where white people are stealing from
Led
other
Zeppelin.
People's culture...
Led Zeppelin taking Willie Dixon songs, repackaging them. They were awesome. I liked
their
versions.
No. I didn't say they're awesome. I said they were also accused of stealing Irish people's folk songs.
Spirit.
You can make a comment that maybe they were thieves, but they weren't exclusively stealing from black
the
people.
The Rolling Stones, those buffoons, taking blues artist songs, repackaging them, and because they were white, it sold.
Okay, now that's where you've just made a mistake.
No.
Because the Rolling Stones have
we're
always
supposed
been
to be
clear.
On the same side.
Well, we're
we
not.
We have the same skin.
We're not. This is going down, yo.
All I'm saying is he's got some points.
No, he doesn't have points. Those are ridiculous points. We should be getting to a point where when you see a white kid inspired by a black artist, you don't go that stealing. You go, okay, cool. They're getting this message. They're getting my artwork. And now it's inspiring them to go do something. You can't just... That's it's so closed-minded that when a black person does it, it's somehow supposed to remain exclusively black. And that's what I'm taking away from Jesse Williams. Now, people were applauding him. They get into group environments. I think that's a real cheap maneuver to have the speech that he had where you're going in 10 different arguments and then you throw out a Tamir Rice comment because I think that really just gets people
that
to automatically want to start clapping. It's just an emotional touchstone, even though the rest of what he's saying is jibbity jabba. But I think that we have to start getting away from if a black person does something, then it's supposed to remain exclusively black to respect that artwork. Because if that was the case, if when Beyonce, who was in town, a month ago, if it was only black people that showed up to her show because everybody went, well, it's not our thing, and I don't want to be gentrifying their genius, she wouldn't have been playing at Soldier Field. She probably would have been playing at the Chicago Theater.
So here,
or the UIC Pavilion.
Here's where I'll somewhat agree with your righteous indignation toward this gentleman. I think that he's a bit misguided. Instead of hating white people, I think he should hate the machine that we're all being kind of churned up in, the corporate, vampiric machine that kind of bleeds everyone dry. But he does have some valid points in my estimation. I do believe that black people have had it pretty rough. They've had it pretty rough.
They've had that. But
I don't
he didn't
see a
come
lot
out
of
and
shots
just leave
of,
that to his message.
I don't see a lot of cops shooting white kids dead.
Yes. Stay on that message. What I'm saying is, I said at the beginning, my first reaction to this whole thing was he drinking? Because this was goddamn ridiculous. It went all over the place. So this guy
has a list of grievances. This was the airing of the grievances, like Festivus. This was Black Festivus.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you stick to a point, he says, we have the data. Well, then streamline that speech to what the data is. Then I will go forward with you. But when you don't do that and you go from one angry subject to the other angry subject to the other angry subject and close it out with a comment about whiteness, this invention called
it's not
whiteness,
an invention.
I have a problem with, especially when to be honest with you, you need to be a little bit more streamlined when you are more white than you are anything else.
But he's half black and half white.
Well, no, he's more white. His mother was white. His father is biracial. So if you're going to make that point, I think you really do have to have it streamlined to the point that you are making. If you have the data, give us this data. Then it makes whatever you're putting out there relevant.
Okay, well, here's
the
problem.
But when you're talking about...
And this dovetails with what we just talked about. He believes he's a humanitarian. They were giving him an award for being a humanitarian. And so now he unfortunately believes that he's a humanitarian, and he's got to look and act the part all the time.
I think we're getting on the same page again.
Yeah.
And that is very likely the issue, and it goes back to when you meet people who in the first, and I would put damn good money that in the first minute of meeting a Jesse Williams, he lets you know he is a humanitarian, I'm a civil rights actor, like whatever. He will put that out there in the first minute.
He's got to be insufferable.
He's not just an actor.
He's got to be at all, dude.
But that's part, look, I think this is, and maybe I'm going to blame Shonda Grimes and all this. Black, white, male, female, she seems to be able to find the most insufferable people to put on that show.
To be on Grey's Anatomy, Shondaland.
Yeah.
She's and good.
And you know, here's the funny thing, like, she's created all these shows, all these hugely successful shows, where what I'll even say is, one of the shows that she created, is it Scandal? Is that the one with Kerry Washington?
Yeah.
Kerry Washington. Black female actor, women all over this country. She has her own fashion line where white women want to dress and look like Kerry Washington.
Yeah.
Now, to a Jesse Williams, is that something that shouldn't be happening? Like, all the girls I work with at work, that's their favorite show. They love Scandal, and they all fawn over this woman's clothing. They're all these white women want to look like this black woman. Is that not progress, or is that stealing from Kerry Washington, or is that stealing from the way that black women dress?
It's one instance of black people finally possibly getting the upper hand. But still, it's the machine. It's the corporate machine that ultimately wins. We're all within this system.
But this
so black people are trapped in these ghettos, and they're preyed upon for their culture and their achievements.
But who's preying upon them?
And white people are entrapped in a different kind of ghetto.
Who's preying upon
the ghetto
them?
Of debt, Jones. The ghetto of debt.
Okay, but wait a minute.
So we're all
okay. Name an artist that's been preyed upon.
Coin.
No, name an artist that's been preyed upon. Has 50 Cent been preyed upon? The dude shot his cousin, and he is openly tells journalists, white journalists, black journalists, any journalist, whenever they go to ask him about it, that's not cool. I don't talk about it.
Yeah, I do
it.
Believe
it gets
he
shot down.
I believe
okay?
he's preyed upon. He's penniless. Why? Because in order to perpetuate this sales for the mothership, the corporate mothership, they've tricked these dudes, these rappers and these artists. You must pretend that you're rich, richer than you are, richer than you can afford to be. In fact, spend all of the advance we give you. Again, because they're trapping them with debt. Become indebted to us, and then you'll have to make 7 albums for us gratis to get out of this debt.
Okay.
That's how they do it.
Did this machine also say, oh, and please go out and get shot 7 times? Like, if that's the case, wouldn't audiences, black and white, if that was something that was abhorrent to them, go, and I can speak from experience, but wouldn't they, as audience members, go, I'm not into this stuff. I don't want to hear this person rap about being shot 7 times. When hip-hop exploded when I was a kid, I totally had nothing to do. I had no interest in NWA or any of that voyeurism into Black Gangsterville. I liked A Tribe Called Quest. I liked LL Cool J. I liked all these other artists that I felt I could gravitate to that didn't have to, I wasn't imprisoned and felt like, oh, I saw that image of, yeah, we're going to shoot this chick, we're going to shoot this guy, and we're going to rape this woman. And I went, I don't want that.
I love that song.
Yeah, so then it's down to the people who got involved in that. You did it to yourself.
Well, but even Tribe Called Quest,
you're
admitting that one of the acts that you liked, they say that they were like totally indebted to the mothership, the corporate mothership.
You can talk about the music business, and that's the music business in general.
Are they rich today? I don't know.
No.
Did Fife Dawg die a millionaire? No.
No.
Probably not.
You can talk about that. You can listen. You can talk about the music business that way, but don't tell me that my whiteness shouldn't be involved in it, because then all of a sudden if white people weren't paying attention to hip-hop culture and weren't embracing it and trying to participate in it themselves, the story that would be spouted out by idiots like Jesse Williams, and our artistry gets shunned, our genius is kicked to the curb. Like, when does it stop? When does it stop?
I got to think you got to also recognize that division is the thing that sells. The controversy, the black on whiteness of art and culture and media and all of that. That's what drives all of this. So he's playing right into the corporate slave master's plan.
Yes.
And the fact that Viacom isn't making
that. And I'm calling him out on it.
Well, right.
I'm saying pull up your big boy pants, Jesse, and see what you're doing.
Yeah. And
it's stupid.
You know what I don't like about his speech? He didn't offer any solutions as to how to fix it. He just said, we got problems here, here, and here.
Yes. And then, and actually, the one claim that he did make was something he couldn't back at all. And black women, it's our goal, and we will start doing right by you.
Yeah.
How can you promise that?
That's about time. It's about time, actually.
And maybe it's about time, but like, hey, okay, what are your goals for fulfilling that promise?
That's right. That's right.
I hate him. I hate, and you know what?
See,
I hate, it's about
they
Grey's
want you
Anatomy.
To hate.
I hated everybody on that show. I hate Katherine Heigl. I hate that gay dude whose name doesn't come to me, who curled up like a little bitch when he had that problem with Isaiah Washington. I don't hate Isaiah Washington, actually.
You
but
believe
I hate
it,
Jesse
Isaiah,
Williams.
The other brother who went off the reservation from that show, believe he was entrapped by that gay guy.
Yes, I have always backed Isaiah Washington. I thought he got railroaded. And Isaiah, if you're within the sound of my voice, reach out to me. We'd love to have you on the show, hear your story. I love you.
Jones, Mike, and Isaiah.
Yes.
That's what we need. We need a Robin Quivers so we can talk about these issues even deeper.
Isaiah, I've got your back. I've always had his back.
That's right. That's right.
Always.
And Jones is, he's surprisingly straight. So you and Isaiah are going to get along just fine.
Why is it surprising me? I watch the Bears.
You watch the Bears and Grey's Anatomy, apparently.
I don't watch Grey's Anatomy. I hate Grey's Anatomy.
Stop with the hate.
And Jay Cutler.